All right, really cool podcast today. And for you, the audio listeners, we have something very special for you at the end because so many people have wanted to hear the interviews from the different stars that we've had on over the past day or two talking about coronavirus. We're going to go ahead and put our interview with Dr. Drew right after the closing jingle, then Tom and Mitch from Seaforth, Ingrid Andrus, also Tennille Towns and Mitchell Tenpenny, kind of all giving us a little heads up on what their life has been like since this corona stuff has all broken out. So that's right at the end of the podcast after the jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything.
Aren't we in an emergency? Why are we playing this one? This is a national emergency. Right. The world is shutting down.
Hold on, man.
This is not.
People need upbeat.
You think?
They need that.
I know. Yes. We'll supply that.
We're going through
a saying.
This is a weird time for America.
Yes.
Big D and Bubba.
I wish I'd never
have a show 5 days a week. They don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one. And that's how we get the podcast.
Cough into your arm.
The podcast. Yeah. Podcast is how we get the podcast. The podcast.
It just makes me sad every time.
I love it.
It puts you to the setting. It's set now.
Well, it is. I'm Miss Nettie.
Thank you.
You sound like the guy who like plays guitar just to get chicks.
That's who I used to be, dude. That was the only way I could get girls.
Used to be.
The podcast sponsored by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Well, it is. I'm Miss Nettie.
That's Miss Nettie made our goal this week.
I'm just saying. That's just what.
Miss Nettie's awesome.
It is. No, I'm talking about Patrick. It is.
Playing guitar to get girls.
Yeah. This has been a really interesting time for us on the show because I'm really been struggling over the last 24, 48 hours about how much coronavirus content we do. And I think we do good. I mean, it's been good.
Really, well, the way we've approached it on the show is different. We're not doing it like from a news standpoint. No. We're not reporting, okay, this many. We've never said, not once, how many people are infected. We've never said how many people have died. We've never said. We're dealing with this on our show, and I think here on the podcast too, the same way. It's from a lifestyle standpoint. We're dealing with it, talking about, you know, how life has changed and how you can make things feel kind of normal.
Relatable.
Every now and then.
Enjoyable escapism.
Not but, news. Yeah.
It's escapism. I just see us over the next week we're going to start getting more into, just me personally, I would like to get into more, you know, telemarketer calls.
The normal thing. Yeah. And, you know, I feel it's going to happen. Look, here's the thing. Like the closest thing I can even compare this to would be 9/11. And I think, you know, looking at that comparison, you know, it took us a little while after 9/11.
From the standpoint of the show,
but
yes.
The difference is 9/11 was one and done. It happened on September 11th. This is very different in the fact that it's continuing. It's still going on.
No, 9/11 didn't.
No, but you know what I mean. I know.
There was
we did the invasion and all that kind of stuff. But what I'm saying is the actual 9/11 event was September 11th, or else it would just be called September 01.
I get it. So. But the fear, the idea that there was going to be another attack, the idea that we were going to counterattack, all that stuff was all in the air. So
Patrick, there are sharks swimming in New Orleans.
Yes. We showed up every morning and had no idea what it, you know, it was like, okay.
Hey, I'm going to do an audio check real quick. I just want to hear. September 11th. Okay, good. Mics are working.
Oh, good.
It's different because I think on 9/11 we handled it where we brought the comedy in. I would say almost within a week and a half, 2 weeks. It was all the Taliban songs,
it's still 9/11 content.
Yeah,
and that's what we're doing now. We're still doing Corona stuff, but it's just hey, what are you watching on Netflix? Is that kind of thing. Anyway, I'm just saying that maybe
I know one radio station that told their staff they're not allowed to talk about it
at all.
Yeah, and I go. Wait, what?
That's stupid. That's
again, that's completely unrelatable.
That's what
you're
I said.
Just like, living your life like this isn't going on. And
everybody
this is what your audience
talking
is
about
with?
It. Yeah. And so you put a mandate to say don't talk about it? That is the silliest thing I've ever
mandate.
Heard.
Mandate.
That's as dumb as somebody saying don't talk about anything else no matter what.
Well, yes, I think what happens is you I'm sure the owner
No, of course not. It's small.
Yeah. I'm sure the owner asked someone or heard someone go, "Man, I'm just so sick of hearing about coronavirus." Okay, well, if you ask someone that, they're always going to say that. No one goes, "No, I want to hear more about it."
Right, right.
And so it's not doing press conferences every day. It's not carrying what the president said or whoever. And what's the guy's name? Dr. Fauci?
Yeah. I like Fauci.
I do too. I also like the fact that he's really short.
My favorite is Dr. Birx, the lady.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, man. She's
good.
She's awesome.
But it's talking about like the way we're talking about now. Like, hey, I like him because he's short. Oh, yeah, Birx. Yeah. I like her. It's that kind of stuff. And so I'm not saying we stop that.
I like that doctor. Who's that doctor right there?
Oh, that
pretty lady.
Listen, there's this doctor that they put on
she's
all
like
the news
Grey's
channels.
She's like Grey's Anatomy doctor.
I don't know how this lady got on TV. It's just a shock. There's one really.
You're right. She should have played Meredith Grey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's
yeah.
way prettier.
Oh,
one
man.
Really, really good-looking lady.
Doctor Feel Good.
I cannot believe. Now, as you know, Patrick and I are. And Carson maybe a little bit. Bubba is kind of Dr. more pro.
Dr. Nicole Sapphire. That's her name. Just going
what
back to
a
it.
Stripper name is that?
Nicole Sapphire.
Nicole Sapphire.
Yeah, dude. Nicole Sapphire.
I am such a fan. I'm like, seriously.
Oh my God, she has a book of Grey's Anatomy on the shelf behind
her.
Oh,
she does. She does. Yeah, she's straight out of Central Casting. She's great.
She comes out, dances. She plays the whole part of a doctor. And
she's got a stethoscope.
She's got the glasses and
dude,
the hair
wear the scrubs
calling
and
Dr. Love.
I'm in with
anyway,
the
I was going to say is that I'm a huge college football fan, and Kurt Herbstreit came out and said, "Hey, I don't think we're going to play NFL, and I don't think we're going to play college ball."
I think that's insanity.
I think that's way ahead of it.
I think right now, as it stands right now, we will end up seeing the NFL play. I think the NFL will play to empty stadiums, possibly.
No.
But I don't see collegiate sports going back in because.
Then why
again,
can't we play in empty stadiums, too?
Because you're talking about forcing. I mean, they're not getting paid. It's not their job. They're volunteering to play for your school. So it's a different kind of thing.
The NFL, I mean, they're talking about MLB and how much money it's costing cities. And, I mean, people are losing so much revenue because Major League Baseball isn't playing.
So NFL schedule starts September 10th.
The regular season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
college starts
season.
About September 1st or somewhere around there.
The problem is we're getting right back into flu season, which if the indications are correct,
August 29th.
Then Corona will possibly run the same course in the same time periods as
I will bet
flu
you,
season.
Who wants to take it? I will make the bet right now. We will absolutely have football. There's no way this is still going on.
I think that
Americans will riot.
I think Trump will sit there and go, listen, we have to have it for normalcy.
We have to have normalcy. This is insanity.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
If anything, could they do like the Army-Navy game? I mean, that would be like.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, like, if anything, if they're not going to have a season, wouldn't you think they'd do like a big thing? Like it would be Army Navy.
No, they're going to have a season.
They're going to have a season.
They're going to have a season.
I hope
this
so.
This is crazy.
Well, I can tell you, I've had so many concerts that have been postponed, and two of them have already given rescheduled dates.
Yeah,
in that they've already confirmed them. Yeah, that they're
so. If this goes away and then starts to come back in the fall, people are not going to do this again. Mm-hmm. No one is going to go. Okay, yeah, let's just
go back
just destroy our livelihoods and start up. No,
yeah,
if we are finding a way to combat this. We're giving you time. We're all staying home and doing our thing. Obviously, not us, but look at us—we're socially distant. Yeah, you don't get to do this again for the same virus. Not at all. No. And I'm telling you, there's a boy who cried wolf fear that it'll be another virus that'll be worse than this one 10 years from now. And people who remember this are not going to react well. Because this thing is, I'll say it, I think it's an overreaction. I think it's fine what we've done so far. But when you're talking about canceling football 6 months from now, 5 months from now? That's an overreaction.
Well, that's why the NFL said they're going to go ahead and do the draft as normal, and everything's going to go on as planned. It's going to be empty places and all that kind of stuff. So I definitely see business as usual for the NFL. I do. I see those guys still playing in the fall. I see college as being a question mark. And the only reason is because, like we said, they're not employees. It's different.
Let me
help
you with some.
How do you get next year's draft if you don't have college this year?
You've got several leagues that you could pick from. I mean, you've got Canada, you've got all kinds of stuff. I mean,
let me put it to you this way. College football, $500 billion industry. That's just
Have you been
football.
Watching it? Doesn't really seem to care.
I'm just I know, but right again, now, that's bigger than almost anything that's canceled so far. It is. Canceling the whole thing?
So what happens with schools? You know, there are lots of states that have completely and districts that have completely done away with the rest of the school season. What happens for these students who is it just become a pass fail type thing? You don't get a grade, you just kind of
So here's the latest I heard from Frank's teachers and all that. I mean, again, this changes every other day. We get another email or voicemail or whatever, but the latest I heard is that they are going to drop the actual state testing, maybe, I don't know, and then the exams are going to be different too. Yeah. They're going to go in basically, if they can go back into school at this point, they're going to go back and just finish out whatever time they have left, and then if you pass or fail, you pass or fail. There won't be a big final exam or something. Mm-hmm. But again, that could change. It probably already has changed since this morning.
My daughter's
school,
they're doing school. They're doing, they get on
the online stuff.
Online, and they have the teacher with all the students there.
Well, here's the thing is, I heard, yeah, that's great and everything, but there's so many families that don't have the capability. Like my daughter, she had to turn in this thing, it had to be a Word doc. I'm like, why does it have to be a Word doc? Can't you just upload it into Google Docs? She's like, no, it has to be a Word doc or else I fail. I'm like, we're talking about a technology from 1997 that this professor or whoever wants it in.
Everybody still uses Word, by the way. I use Word every day.
I don't have a Mac. I don't use Word.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's not
Mac.
But the point is, how many people...
90% of people
it's that you don't
Word.
Have Microsoft Office because that does cost money. Most people do not download it to personal computers.
And so because of this, there's a lot of these school systems that aren't... They're not legally set up for online school. It wasn't part of the plan. So if they have online only and you're held accountable to those standards, you're opening yourself up to big lawsuits later on down the road. You failed my kid because we didn't have Office 365.
This is awesome. And listen, there's the line of thought that says sending kids home when parents still have to work and the kids end up at grandma's house. And guess what? It's not any safer for the kid to be at grandma's house than it is for them to be at school.
Oh, yeah, it is, because there are limiting exposure from all those
limiting
other kids.
Limiting exposure. Okay.
Unless you're my
everybody's
kid.
Staying
my
home.
Kid hangs out
no,
and plays
not.
Basketball
exactly.
with all the neighbor kids.
Everybody's kid is doing that.
Yeah. But
I saw
you know,
some places where they're taking down the rims at basketball courts to keep kids out of them.
Probably in New York City. Yeah.
The state of New York is where I saw it. Yeah.
Oh, but, man, you do that in my neighborhood, there will be riots. All the kids play basketball. That's all they do is play basketball.
At some point, people start pushing back. This is too much. That's why you have to give people
but
a light at the end of the tunnel to look at.
Look for. Well, that's why I like the way, you know, it's interesting because I like the way that Trump is handling this. Whether you are for or against him, he at least is positive. And he's trying to say, hey, we're going to try to do this by Easter. Hopefully things work out. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but we're trying. And I'm like, you know what? That's better than just nothing but doom and gloom. He's letting the doctors and the CDC people and all that be the doom and gloom people. But he's actually trying to be positive, which... I think is good. We need some positivity. I mean, we just talked about that's why we do the show. Not all news is because we want to be, you know, a little goofy, a little silly, a little irreverent in the face of this thing. So, you know, I think having some levity is good.
You guys remember America? I remember America.
America's here.
Yeah, back in February.
Hang out and do stuff together.
Good old days, February.
And now we're talking about canceling things 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows.
Remember
what
we were eating Tide Pods? And we thought that was going
to
be the end of society.
Maybe that's what brought this on. We don't know.
Remember when clowns are chasing people in the woods?
Yeah.
Bring that back.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Oh, man. There's so much stuff. Like, seriously, I mean, when you think about the fact that a month ago, the whole entire country was different. Not only the country, but the world. But especially for us, because this is how we relate to it. It's what affects us. A month ago... We were still living life and everything was all good and all normal. Now we get fussed at if we get within 12 feet of somebody. That's so crazy. We're in a different world, man.
I kind of love that, though, because I feel people are way too close.
I was fishing the other day. I was fishing at a different place than I normally go, and it's like this park with a pond. And so I'm fishing in the pond, and I'm just pulling out the crappie, and I'm like, ooh, this is great. Now, there are hundreds of yards of grass on like three sides. I mean, there's the pond right there. This dude walking his dog walked within 2 feet of me.
Ugh.
And I turned, I said, excuse me. He goes, yeah. I said, social distancing, remember? He goes, huh? I said, you just walked like you could have reached out and touched me. Yeah? I'm like, are you not paying attention to what's going on? Socially, stay away from people. Call me some names.
No.
And I'm like, well.
That happened to me at the park. I was like, walking why? The dog, and I turn around. There's this guy almost like right behind me. And when he goes to get around me, he's within a foot of me.
Yeah.
But I'm on the phone, and I'm like,
excuse
I'm not
me.
As. Well, no, you actually addressed the person instead. I'm like, yeah, and then there's some old dude who just decides he needs to walk right. Because, you know, at that point, if he turns around and looks at me, he's an eavesdropper. So this was my way of shaming him.
Hey, whatever happened with you finding those keys or something in the park?
I put them, they have a, the park has one of those little libraries. Have you seen where people will put?
I like other park.
Okay, well. People do it and they say it's like my little library, and they build these teeny tiny little houses and they put books in them. And the idea is take a book, leave a book, whatever. And so I put the keys in there and they were not there the next day. So hopefully whoever lost them took the keys or...
For a while there, we thought it was a real deal, like NCIS.
I am still not convinced it isn't.
A crime thing.
I'm still waiting to see if... Because there's been so much else going on that maybe...
In
missing keys and wallet in a park has not been on the priority to search and find out. At this point, that body could be way down the creek. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if something pops up.
Or it got eight.
Yeah, because there were keys. I found the wallet. It was a whole mystery.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff fell out of the pockets when they were trying to hide the body.
That's
how it worked.
I get.
Well, you watch all these crime things now. I was talking to Evan the other day. I was like, man, how would, like, they catch people all the time. Like you see these shows.
Well, I'm screwed because I gave up my DNA to Ancestry and 23andMe.
Well,
so
I think
find
we've
family.
All learned, get you a tiger.
Get you a tiger.
Yes.
That's right. Feed
your victims to the tiger.
Carol taught us well.
If I've learned anything from Tiger King, it was how to get rid of the body.
I haven't gotten through. I think they have just, man.
Are you on episode 3 yet?
I think so. Okay. I know that they're kind of talking about it.
Yeah.
But they haven't gone deep into it. I don't know the details of that. You guys. Have you all already finished?
I did, Tiger King?
I just finished episode 3, so that's where I'm on the total Carol.
Okay.
I think I just finished two.
Okay. So I think 3 I'm just getting ready. I think I'm going to do it tonight.
Yeah. Oh, it's so bizarre.
I couldn't work out yesterday because I busted my knee, so I literally sat on my couch and just watched something like 4 or 5 hours of Tiger King. Which is so embarrassing. But
did you watch the Darren Brown apocalypse?
No, that's and probably this weekend.
How do you spell it? Because it's different than it's D-E-R-R-E-N. So
yeah.
Two R's. D-E-R-R-E-N.
Yeah, he's like a magician, mentalist from England. He's very famous there, and really not so much here. And so he would do these. I don't know if he did them a couple times a year on BBC or whatever they have over there. But he has these big, like, hour-long, two-hour-long specials where he takes someone and follows them and makes, like, someone who's, like, really, like, not a hero kind of person and puts them into a position where they can be a hero. Like, one guy, he lands a plane. He thinks he's landing a plane, and it's a simulator, but he was kind of in a hypnotic state. And so, like, it's pretty fascinating to watch all of it. Is it all true? Of course it is. I don't know. I want to say it is, but
you want to believe it.
I kind of don't care. Really, it's just like entertaining.
Is it entertaining?
Entertaining.
Then there
right.
we go.
Yeah, I kind of. I don't want.
That's kind of how I feel about the Impractical Jokers things, because I know a lot of that stuff.
I just can't
is
handle
staged
them. They're just such overlaffers.
But
it's
I like them.
I like them as people. I think I would get along with them. But
I like them a lot.
I can't get over the everything is the funniest thing they've ever so over the top, laughing loud and hard at everything.
Yeah, it is. It is a little off-putting, but again, that's what makes me think that it's not real. When that's kind of to me the giveaway that the thing they're doing is more of a skit than an actual prank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, where you go, oh, okay, he's over laughing, so all right. I know what this one is. By the way, the asteroid that's coming, apparently the coronavirus is...
an asteroid?
Oh, you didn't know about this?
No.
Okay, so...
Oh, I'm like, whatever.
The coronavirus is all just to get people inside to spend time with our family before The asteroid hits on April 29th.
Well, how sweet.
Yeah, the government's doing that to bring families closer together before the asteroid hits.
Look at that government looking out for our mental.
That's not true, by the way. The asteroid is going to pass, they said, like 16 times the distance between the Earth and the Moon. So 16 times further than that. Like, we have asteroids pass between the Earth and the Moon all the time. And if you look at the Moon, a lot of stuff hits the Moon. But no, this asteroid's not the threat that everybody keeps saying. And I wanted to debunk that because so many people are... I had a great 30-minute conversation with someone yesterday about that. And they're all about the asteroid is coming and it's going to... That's the whole reason Corona. And I'm like, no, 30 minutes of this. And I'm like...
30 minutes.
And that's more time than I'm willing to give anyone that
crazy.
Yeah,
but I like I like this person and they're
Carson,
fun.
What's next? Nazis bringing corn syrup into our foods?
Are the Nazis doing that?
Dude, it might as well have been.
If you watch Hunters, yes.
Yeah, that's a completely Hunter, inside joke for those who have watched the show Hunters.
No, it is a misnatic.
I think everyone's going to be fine. Listen, go for a long drive. Put the windows down. Get the radio going. Listen to some music. Don't freak out.
Skinny
it's going to
be
fine.
Skinny dipping. Go skinny dipping. When's the last time you did that? You want to talk about...
Ew, what?
Yeah.
Well,
no.
None of us are actually able to go skinny dipping. We can go dipping, though.
Yeah.
But, if you're skinny, go dipping. I just think it'd be great. Why not? Why not promote something fun and...
Don't live in fear.
I mean, I won't make it.
Support your restaurants by ordering out if you can.
We're ordering out tonight.
If you can afford it right now and you're not having to buckle down, hopefully you've got a job or your job is evolving into another way and still making some money and paying your bills.
Tons of coupons and things coming in the mail right now, too.
Yeah, take advantage of that stuff. And it all adds up. And support the businesses that are really struggling if you're able to do that. Don't, obviously. But, man, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. We're going to survive this. I know it's crazy, and it doesn't feel like it sometimes. We're gonna do this. Just remember, stay away from people. If you see somebody fishing on side the pond, don't walk next to them.
Bob is still mad at that guy.
I am.
He is.
I am. That guy was a jerk, and then he called
How
me.
How about you back up at the grocery store? That's something that I feel needs to be reiterated.
Oh, yeah.
That when you're standing in line, people are still not respecting that distance.
I saw somebody I know really well at the grocery store 2 days ago, 3 days ago, the last time I went. And, I said, hey, how are you? She goes, that. I'm like, what in the world?
It's a weird thing because you don't want to come off as overreacting.
And I was still 10 feet away, but she freaked out.
So it's a weird thing because people don't want to do it, but they don't want to take a risk. We're in a weird place.
I went to the bank yesterday. I walk in. I saw Larry. Big Larry, our buddy.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen him in a while. I was like, dude, Larry. And I just put my elbow out and he tapped my elbow. Because you know what? Give it a rest. This is ridiculous.
What's hilarious is that I know a lot of Larrys, including my father.
And they're all big.
But when you said Big Larry,
you knew
I knew exactly who you meant.
You knew who I meant.
Biggest man.
One of the biggest men
I've ever seen.
I don't mean just fat. Naturally. I mean just gigantic.
Yeah.
He's like.
Insane.
He's got bear paw hands.
His hands look like if I had a baseball glove on, that's what his hands would look like. So I was actually happy not to shake his hand.
And they're like not even giant.
Then I feel like a child.
They're not even like big, like long hands. No, they're just giant. They're thick, meaty hands. They're paws.
Do you know him?
Mm-mm. I don't.
Mm.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Anyway, he's really soft-spoken and just so gentle.
Hey, man.
Very gentle. Hey, yes. How are you? He lets go for walks and take pictures of his walk every day.
Like nature.
And so he's like, this guy. But Bob and I and Patrick, we always talk about how, dude, can you imagine the person who got their arms ripped off their body because they made him mad one night?
One time.
He'll just
snap. He's so sweet that one day.
And it probably takes a lot.
It's a rubber band. It's a spring. It's coiled up in there in one day.
He had to spit in his face like 5 times.
6 or 7 years ago, there was a charity thing where they were having people pull an airplane. And they had this small jet. And you'd get a team of 10 people to pull the airplane. And it's like, okay, wait, the three of us are all big dudes. What if I can get just the biggest
totally
dudes? The first person I call is Larry, and I explain it to him. And I'm like, and I'm calling you because we're trying to just get the biggest dudes we know. And he goes, That makes sense, and I'm in.
All right, good. Yeah, and then we ended up getting all-pro NFL right tackle, Kyle Turley.
Kyle Turley. Vinny. Wow.
Big Vinny when he was right off of the Biggest Loser, so he was all ripped and all bowed up. And,
yeah. We had my bud, John, who's also a bodybuilder.
EJ was there, because same conversation. EJ, I'm getting all the biggest dudes I know.
EJ was there.
All right.
And that was like right when EJ was boxing, right?
Oh, so yeah. He was in training. And so here we are. We show up, and the other team that we're pulling playing against, they're going to get crushed. They already know they're going to get beat. Like, there's like their family members. There's no crowd there.
I think
no
they were like
cares.
Six or seven.
But like their families are there, and everyone's like, going, ooh. So we get up there. Kids. We're slapping each other in the face. We're
there's
kicking
a video
each other
on YouTube. We should reshare that on Twitter or something.
Should.
So people
we're
going
to do this. Let's go. We go to pull it. It's like they go, and there's a horn. We go pulling. Nothing.
Oh.
Nothing.
The pilots were sitting in the cockpit with his feet on the brakes.
No.
And we have it on video because I put a GoPro inside the cockpit and you see him go,
And
then all of a sudden it's like full thrusters. Now the plane's going to take off.
We lost like 3.5, maybe 4 seconds, and we ended up losing by a tenth of a second.
Yeah.
To the speed. We would have crushed
them. We lost
them.
To the local firefighters.
Yeah.
That's who their team
rigged.
Which you know.
Shut up, Bubba. I'm a fireman, and I fish.
Much love for the brotherhood. God, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
we
you fish, and you're a fireman. We got it.
We spanked them.
Dude, I would be screaming. I understand it's charity, but man, I've had that before. I was in a contest where I felt robbed, and it was an event for charity.
I know,
and
you can't say anything.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm vocal.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the best part of that, though, is we left there, and we all went and ate chicken wings and french fries. And the table of the seven or eight of us sitting at.
We walked in, the eight biggest
dudes you've ever seen.
Call Cisco. We're going to need another airdrop. anyway, y'all have a great weekend, and we hope that you are safe and healthy, and spend some time with your family, laugh, play a board game, turn the TV off for a little while, and just reconnect with your family and nature if you can. Take up a hobby or something. We're going to be fine. We'll get through this. It's going to take some time, but we'll be good. It's going to be good.
This was the podcast, but now
it's over.
It's over.
And that's
but okay. Because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Bye, podcast people.
Sorry. Oh, don't forget, here comes all the interviews.
Dr. Drew's on the hotline with us. Good morning to you. Anything going on in the world we should know about, Dr. Drew?
No, I don't know. You heard anything? It's pretty kind of boring day.
Kardashians think they get a haircut or something like that.
A lot of people skipping work.
So, Dr. Drew, we are looking to you to save us from ourselves. Give us your top five things that you feel that you've said so many times that you're going to get a tattoo on your forehead just so people can read it.
A great way to frame it, and I don't want to save us from ourselves. I want to save you from the press, because the press has been the enemy of this entire phenomenon, this entire outbreak. They've created panic. They have harmed people. They need to just report the facts. I mean, as recently as last week, the New York Times was putting the doomsday scenarios out of the university in London, who was continuing to put out epidemiology that was completely based on false assumptions, as though that was necessarily the reality I had. So one thing on my forehead is, don't believe the press. Stop listening to the doomsday scenarios. We are making massive progress through these monumental efforts we are making. That's number one. Number two, we should be patting ourselves on the back. It makes no sense anymore to talk about a national epidemiology. We have to talk about a local epidemiology. New York is different than national. National is different than Southern California. Each has its own challenges. Each is going to be able to go back to work. And I guess this would be number three. Have hope. We need a road out. And each region is going to have its own road out. We do need to do wider spread testing of who has had this thing, what's called serological testing for the antibodies. And once we kind of understand where it is in that community, where it's spreading, where it's likely to have little outbreaks, control those areas, control people at risk, and then let's start to move forward. And I guess number four would be the people that are at risk, which people 60 and older, old people with underlying medical conditions. Yes, this population needs to be very careful, and will probably need to be very careful for the next, I don't know, couple months, I suspect.
Yeah.
And then finally, don't get depressed. Don't panic. We're doing fine. and pay attention to your mental health. The media, who only wants your eyes and ears, is going to harm you and adversely affect your mental health. So start paying attention. Stay close to the people you really care about. Get out and get some sunlight. I noticed I started getting depressed until I went outside and took a run. Exercise. These things are very important.
Yeah. I told Big D that the other day. I was out and I was doing a little fishing, and everybody I ran across, you know, from a distance safely, seemed happy. And I was like, you know what? I think they're happy because they're outside.
Yes, and they're getting on with their life. They're doing something they like doing, and they're not sitting at home worrying about this thing. We have to have some hope. We have to have a way to manage and plan for the future. And to deny us that is harming us. And it's okay to give ourselves a pat on the back. In Tennessee, what do you got? You've got 900 cases in a state of how many million? I mean, that's pretty good. You're doing good. And by the way, the other thing, the sixth thing I tattoo on my head is the U.S. healthcare system responds better than any system in the world in situations like this. Whenever it's assessed against other countries, situations like this are not part of the assessment. We get it done. We deliver. We innovate. We find ways to help people. I know my peers. I know hospitals and administrators. We will get this done. Even in situations like New York City, they're getting it done. And once we get the hydroxychloroquine deployed and other antivirals, you're going to see this thing is going to turn around fast.
Hey, Dr. Drew's joining us on the phone. You can hit him up on Twitter at Dr. Drew, Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, you don't spell it out. Dr. Drew on Twitter. So
that's the guy who started Beats?
Yeah, I wish.
Sorry, I had to do that.
Don't use Beats. They're terrible. By the way, Bubba thinks he has already had the coronavirus back in December.
No, it was actually late January, early February. I started with conjunctivitis. I had a little pink eye, and then I went to the doctor, and they were like, oh, yeah, no big deal. And I got tested for the flu shortly thereafter. I got tested again. I had all the symptoms of coronavirus except for the fever.
Mm. Me too. My wife convinced she and I had it, and we actually were exposed to somebody from Wuhan, China, who had a cough and fever. So it's interesting. You and I need to go get what's called the serological test, which is not widely available yet, which is a test for the antibody to see if we've had it. It's not highly probable. It's possible. It's not highly probable. You got to remember that even amongst people who meet criteria for highly likely symptoms, that is fever, chills, pneumonia, exposure or travel, even amongst that population, if you test for the virus, it's only positive 10% of the time.
Wow.
So it's not that likely to be. However, we could be. And we just don't know. We don't have any information yet about the immunity in the community at large. It might be much better. You and I both might have already had it. It's possible.
It was crazy. Dr. Drew, I mean, I'm a firefighter also. And so I'm used to stairs. We go up and down stairs all the time. I couldn't, for like a two-week period, I couldn't even go up a single flight of stairs without having to stop and catch my breath because I had something going on where I could not breathe.
Yeah, well, let's hope that's what it was. I love it if there's lots of people like you out there. Hey, speaking of taking the stairs, now I'm the seventh thing on my forehead. I'm worried about elevators with this outbreak. No thought had been given to that. And if you think about it, when people cough and sneeze, it's been documented that this virus can aerosolize and live for a couple hours. No better environment than an elevator. I think people should be using masks in the elevator or taking the stairs. I think that may be the main unit of transmission in New York City.
Oh, yeah, wow. It's like a giant box of blech.
The virus, yeah.
It just sits there on the walls and the buttons.
It's not a giant virus. It's a tiny box.
Yeah, exactly.
Holding the virus, waiting for you to take a deep breath.
And then you're rubbing up against the wall, and you're touching all the buttons and making Christmas trees. And
So what are some of the things, Dr. Drew, that are not true that people think are true about this virus?
I think the main preoccupation people have is with surfaces and its potential to transmit, because there's lots of information now about the virus living for 2 days, even on a cruise ship for 17 days, and being on our pet's fur, and there's all kinds of preoccupations about surfaces, and yet very little evidence that surfaces transmit the infection. So even though the virus lives on surfaces, and I'm not saying we should diminish our diligence, we should be very diligent about watching, washing our hands and being careful about surfaces. The primary means of transmission is person to person, prolonged person to person contact. So the preoccupation with surfaces, you don't need to be quite so anxious about that.
Also, is it possible for me to text you throughout the day and tell you the kooky things my wife has come up with?
the homeopathic things?
Okay, real quick, can I just go down a list? Colloidal silver.
Oh, my God, don't do that.
Thank you. Okay, I got that one. What about this, some kind of grape oil?
Oregano oil.
That's okay. Oregano oil is okay. It's not going to do much. I mean, if she wants to do something... There's some evidence that vitamin C might be helpful, like 1,000 milligrams a day. Zinc might be helpful, like 50 milligrams a day.
But the problem with zinc...
Cold baths, ice baths might be helpful. Something called hormesis might be useful.
Dr. Drew, isn't that the reason the whole... I always say it wrong. Chloroquine. Isn't it the reason hydrochloroquine... isn't the reason for that to help zinc be absorbed by the body? Because...
Zinc is used with it. No, hydroxychloroquine has multiple mechanisms in terms of how it interrupts the intake and replication of the virus. Multiple mechanisms. And by the way, one of the reasons people, I think, started thinking about it is if you look at regions of Africa where chloroquine is routinely taken all the time, by the way, very safe medication, you don't see penetration of the virus.
Wow. Also, my wife just texted. She wants to know if you need a doTERRA rep for her essential oils, if she could be your connection.
Funny, my wife may need such a rep.
Hey, thanks so much for what you're doing. I know you're busy. Dr. Drew on Twitter, at Dr. Drew.
At Dr. Drew.
At Dr. Drew, and also drdrew.com.
I love it when you talk to me, talk to me, talk to me.
I love it when they talk to me.
Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me.
Please don't sing to the guys.
Why? I got talent.
You sound beautiful, mate.
Skills.
I don't know why we're even trying this business. We should just give it straight to you. You guys take it. We'll go back to Australia and watch you guys blossom. How about that?
Yes. Well, we blossomed all right.
Dude, how is your family in Australia doing? By the way, Seaforth, Tom and Mitch from Seaforth joining us. How's your family doing?
They're doing all right, man. It's obviously a crazy time. We just kind of got through the bushfires and everything, which were devastating, and now this coronavirus is taking its toll. But they're luckily safe and staying all right, keeping their distance from people, and staying inside and doing puzzles and whatnot, like we are.
Yeah, right.
Everyone's in the same boat right now. So.
Hey, by the way, I think that's actually been moved up to the essential list on Amazon. You know, like Amazon saying they're going to slow down the deliveries of non-essential things. I think puzzles have been moved up to essential.
I mean, it makes. I'm glad. I've been waiting for that for years. So, eggs, toilet paper, and puzzles.
Hey, man, puzzles will get you through.
You guys ever seen those puzzles where they don't have? It's for people who are like. Really into puzzles, so they could like graduate to harder ones, and so you go 100, 500, 1500.
Dude, we're on 1,000 right now with me and the kids.
So they have puzzles now that you jigsaw puzzles you put together that are no picture; it's just black.
So you just have to figure it out.
Yes.
No way.
Yeah.
That sounds enjoyable in the slightest. You just start in the corners and go from there. That's wild.
Yeah, that sounds like the devil. That does not sound fun to me.
And then the other thing is...
I just make this black hole.
Yeah, it's just like you get done with it, you're like...
I've just made my soul, guys.
Hey, I got a question for about the... in Australia, there is... I was watching the thing on Netflix, and there is some sort of... It's a U.S. intelligence base that is in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know about this? Do you know about it, Bubba?
Uh-huh.
Bitch.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked you even brought it up.
I have no clue, to be fair.
Yeah, that doesn't exist. Moving on.
Is it an underground hidden base that people are going to try and...
No, it's not under... Well, parts of it may be underground.
Are you talking about the satellite tracking thing, the stations that we have?
Yes, okay. Where like it's like...
Oh, are we talking about Pine Gap?
Pine Gap, that's it!
Yeah, oh no, I'm familiar with Pine Gap. Didn't just Google it, but yeah, Pine Gap. Yep.
Oh, you just Google? Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. It's what I was watching. It's like it's very secretive. Even the people there in Australia aren't real sure what is going on there.
There's like nukes or something? Or?
No, I think...
U.S. satellite surveillance base.
Yes.
It's in the desert. It's in the Northern Territory. Yeah, it sounds a little suspect. It sounds a little too advanced for me. I stick to Shrek the Third.
But they're that's where they can listen to... conversations and calls and stuff. And I think they're doing it on U.S. citizens and basing it in Australia because...
Five Eyes?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, yep. Okay, gotcha.
We're going deep now. We have mentioned the word Five Eyes. We're on a list.
Yeah.
Five Eyes is just the conglomerate of a bunch of nations coming together to spy on us all. Is that what it is? Or...
Isn't Five Eyes, Bubba?
Five Eyes is, so Americans can't spy on Americans, British can't spy on British, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Canadians, you know, so we enlist our buddies, our BFFs to spy on each other, and then we trade that information around.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like having your buddy track your girlfriend. You don't want to track your girlfriend because that would be stalkery.
That would be wrong.
You'd be a stalker.
But your bud can do it.
Yeah, and it's fine.
Your buddy can do it. We'll sign him up.
I guess whenever you got all of this coronavirus started up, were you guys on the road? Did you have to get reeled back in? What happened?
We got kind of – we got D – what would you say? I guess we were right in the middle of a C2C festival, and we were in Berlin, and then we flew to London. And we've always wanted to go to London, always wanted to play shows there. And we literally landed and got a call from our team, and they were like, you guys are going to have to come home. So we literally turned around the next morning and flew out like 8 hours later. And it was it sucked, man. And then we were meant to be in Australia right now playing CMC Rocks Festival, and we had a headline show booked in Sydney, which we just sold out, which we had to cancel. And so it sucks, man, but we're just obviously like everyone else trying to make the best of this time and work on new music and kind of engage with people on social media and whatever else we can do. So
When you guys got to on the airplane to come back, was there a weird procedure? Did you have masks and that kind of thing?
Honestly, no, but the scary thing was I was actually kind of sick before we went over there. So I was like, I was having anxiety because I was coughing a bit and I was like, this is going to look really bad. I don't think I had it, but I was coughing. I'm covering my mouth. I had a whole row on the plane, and every time I'd let out a little cough, everyone's staring at me like, God, giving me the corona.
Yeah.
So it was a little sketch. I came back, got tested. I was negative, which is fantastic, but I definitely was getting some serious eyes. But everything was empty, man. When we flew there, I had a whole row to myself, international whole row on the way back. It was a little bit eerie. Everyone's kind of just keeping their distance. Given Tom said it the other day, everyone kind of just gives each other weird smiles. Like if you have to get to the grocery store now, you walk past someone, they kind of give you an awkward little nod, like "G'day, don't go too close to me." But hold on,
yeah.
And it was kind of that.
We made
it back.
Did you guys go out and do the buying up all the stuff and having to stock up before the quarantine hit?
We kind of did, but dude, it was funny. I think I was like, I bought like essentials, but I kind of had some around the house anyway, like some stuff, like some old, like just different food and different things. But the other night I was like, before it really, really hit, I was like, I'm just going to go to the grocery store. I need to get some garlic and some like cheese or something for like something I wanted to cook. and then I literally get there and bro, there was nothing and I hadn't seen this yet. And so I don't know, I ended up making like a microwave pizza or something.
Lucky Charms cereal and call it a night.
There's probably plenty of that. What is that nasty stuff y'all eat? Vegemite? Is that what it's called?
Oh, man. It's great. No one's touched a single tin of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's funny. All the exotic foods and pork, for some reason, are the only things that are left.
Yeah,
dude, you can really tell which brands are popular and which aren't, you know.
I've been eating some $2 Lean Cuisine buffalo chicken and mashed potatoes microwave.
Yeah.
And not very good, but hey, it's really getting me through.
Well, listen, we're glad you guys are safe and your family is safe, and we can't wait to see you guys back on the road. C4th, you can follow him online, Tom and Mitch. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Wash your hands.
Thank you, fellas. You guys stay safe.
All right. Take care.
Later.
Well, good morning. How's it going?
Oh, look, it's Tennille Towns, everyone. Hi, Tennille.
Oh, hello. How are you guys?
Pretty
you hanging
good.
In there?
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're hanging in there. How about you?
I'm doing the same, yes. so happy to be talking to you today.
Are you really? I mean, you have other things to do, like, well, you could have slept in later or anything like that. Instead, you're really excited to talk with us? Really?
To have human interaction and great conversation, yes. Oh. I am very happy.
Well, we promise the first part.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can give you half of that. We'll give you the human interaction. So what are you doing? Like, are you staying inside? What is the Tennille Town's plan of action?
I am, yes. Staying home. I mean, going for walks and stuff. I've been doing that every day, which is lovely. And I'm writing as much as I can. Like, it's such a weird time right now to be standing still. And I feel heavy-hearted about it, but I also am taking this time to be thankful for some rest and some time to be creative, and that's what I'm doing.
I find it so weird that we haven't had that where were you moment yet. Like, you remember, like, after 9/11, Alan Jackson came out with Where Were You, and we all were like, oh, this is there. But, like, we haven't seen that that Corona COVID-19 song yet. And I'm kind of shocked because there's so many.
I'm going to take this as an assignment now. So.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, if you have decent recording equipment, which I would assume you would, then, yeah, I mean, if you come up with something, share it with us, and we'll play it for everybody, because everybody's dealing with this. That's what I was talking to my kids about. I'm like, this isn't just us in your school or my work or any of that stuff. It's the whole planet. We're talking about people in Zimbabwe. Are having those kind of issues. People in Antarctica are dealing with, what do we do as this continues to spread? I mean, this is every single continent on the earth.
It is. It's such a universal thing. And in that sense, it's like the world almost feels small in, like, the best way, because literally we're all going through it together. It's such a crazy, terrible thing, but it's true. I just can't think of anything else that's quite and universal, like, we are all dealing with this. That's such a good point.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had anything like this. You know, it's crazy. What
it's
about
a common enemy or something?
Yeah, it is. It's like having Hitler. If Hitler was a virus, this is what we're dealing with. Everybody's banding together to take this thing out, and I think it's awesome. You know, it's you have this one great
positive thing to say.
This little microscopic evil with a horrible mustache, and we're gonna wipe it out. We are gonna wipe it out.
We got this. We got this.
Can't believe we went there, but okay.
I mean, you went there. I'm just wanting to put that back.
Yes, all right. That's true.
you have a crazy story about going to England. Weren't you supposed to be hitting the stage, like, just hours before all this went down?
Oh, yes. It was quite crazy. We were over for the C2C Festival. We played Berlin and then traveled to Amsterdam. And we were supposed to play a couple more shows in Germany that ended up being canceled, and so we were just waiting in Amsterdam, went to bed, thinking the next morning we were flying to London to play the show the next day, and I heard my phone going off on the nightstand that plans were changing. We were going to stay awake to watch the president's address and determine whether we were going to get to fly home or what was happening, so it was quite a crazy time. But we made it out that night, it was like 2:00 in the morning, we were going, okay, and we're booking our flight. Festival's canceled, and everyone's going home. So very wild, wild timing, but super grateful to have gotten the flight back. And I already can't wait till this is all passed and I get to go back over there and play for everybody, because I was very sad to miss the rest of the trip.
Where are you hunkering down? Are you in America or are you in Canada?
I am. I'm in Nashville, yep. Hunkering down in Nashville.
And how are you doing the songwriting thing? Because I know that's, like, such a big part of who you are. Like, how are you doing that? Like, are you doing it over the phone? Like, we're FaceTiming each other and we're going to write a song together?
My friend Keelan and I did yesterday, actually. We literally had FaceTime open on our laptops, and we were each sitting in our respective living rooms with our guitars, writing a song together. So this is new season of a style of writing. And also just kind of doing some writing on my own as well. It's like, it's my way of processing what's happening, I think, is to sort of turn to music. So it's like my brain is not quite wrapped its head around all of this yet. So it's like pieces of songs, but I look forward to
to getting to finish them as I think my mind clears up in understanding in the next, hopefully, couple of days, maybe a few weeks. So,
do you have pets?
I don't have any pets, no.
So you're sitting there by yourself with nothing to snuggle up on the sofa with you?
The good news, here's the most amazing news, is actually my apartment was flooded before Christmas and is under renovations right now, and it's still not ready. So I am so thankfully at quarantine at my manager's house right now, and I'm so glad because I think I'd be going crazy by myself. So they're stuck with me here, but I'm really grateful for the company.
Oh,
and
that's
they also have a little dog as well, which is amazing. So I'm hanging with Georgia.
Some of us that are single and live alone, Bubba, we're doing fine. Just want to let you know.
But I know you have dogs. I know you have.
I have a dog. Who doesn't care that I'm there?
No, your dog does care. Your dog does. Your dog's like, take me for a walk.
But no, it's good to hear, Tenille. It's such a creative, you're such a creative spirit, and not being able to turn that off and just finding that workaround, that even being inspired maybe by a little pooch, maybe we'll get some sort of, you know.
Hey, Michael Jackson's Ben, which is an amazing song, was about a hamster. Who knows? Who knows?
I did not know that.
Oh, you
did?
So
awesome.
Oh,
no. It was a rat.
I'm sorry. It was a rat. I always thought it was a hamster. It was a rat. Dear.
Barry Manilow's Mandy was about his dog. No, it really wasn't.
It wasn't?
No.
I thought it was an urban legend.
It's an urban legend, but no.
That's kind of sad. I always thought it was about the dog. Oh, well. Anyway, Tenille, best of luck to you as you continue to ride this out. And if you ever get bored or you're feeling lonely, we're just a phone call away.
You guys are the best. Thank you so much. I'm sending you guys all the biggest hug, and to everybody listening out there, I'm glad we're all in this together.
You bet. Tenille Towns, y'all. Check her out online. You can follow her Twitter, etc., at Tenille Towns.
Aw, thanks, you guys. Have a good rest of your day.
You too.
You too. Bye-bye.
Mitchell Tenpenny is on the hotline with us. He is calling us from his underground bunker located somewhere in North America. Hey, Mitchell, how are you?
Hello, Mitchell!
How are you here?
I'm good, man. Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, we're good, man. We're just kind of appreciate you calling in, checking in on us, and kind of keeping up all your fans up to date on, and us. On.
Is he checking in on us, or are we checking in on him?
Checking
in with us?
He's checking in with us with on us. Him. I don't
checking in together.
Yeah. Hey, have you done any of these online shows yet? I haven't really been paying too much attention.
Yeah, nothing too crazy. I've just been honed down, cleaning the house, working on the studio, and doing nothing.
Is that what you're doing? Is that your project, building the studio?
Yeah, finally, me and Megan bought a new house last year. We just been gone so much, I haven't had time to really set it up and get everything done. So it's that has been the one blessing of this whole thing. So it's looking good. We're getting it all set up.
What do you have in there? Do you put old gear, like
reel to reels,
like legit stuff,
1-inch tape,
or is it all like online things,
like digital?
No, I'm not doing it to tape. It's digital, but I use a bunch of actual hardware for like outboard gear. More than I use a lot of the plugins inside of it. I know that makes no sense to a lot of people, but yeah, I still like a bunch of the old school stuff.
So like you'll do something like you'll have a preamp going in before, so you can't change it.
Yeah, I've got a preamp going into a compressor, into the interface, into the digital system.
Dude, we were talking our language. God, wouldn't that be fun just to go there and just like, well, have you thought about this? And then, of course, you know, I found this thing on eBay. It's from 1964.
Dude, the Beastie Boys did an album back in the day where they played the entire album was done on instruments they bought at pawn shops for under $500 total. And they had all these crazy, wacky sounds. There were xylophones and just weird things in there. And I'm like, you know, I have a feeling coming out of this coronapocalypse, we're going to have some really crazy sounding albums because people are bored and they're experimenting instead of just sticking to a routine. Well, this is the way we've always done it. We're going to get that. We're out of this. We're going to get the next steel guitar, because once upon a time, before steel guitar was country, it was Hawaiian thing. It was an experimental thing. It was a space age thing. And then it became the part of the twang that we, you know, grew to love. I think we're going to find something out of this. I don't know what it's going to be, but there will be some instrument that pops up and becomes a country staple.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, that's what these times are for. You got to experiment, have some fun. Do it like the Beach Boys and the Beatles.
What did the Beach Boys do? I know the Beatles did weird
pet
stuff.
Pet sounds.
Same thing, pet sounds. And Yeah, they kind of, in that same time, they were kind of experimenting with all that stuff, where, like, your engineers wore lab coats. Today they wear jorts.
Jorts.
Jorts under their Tyvek suits.
Yeah, maybe the next sound is going to be kind of muffled, like you're wearing a mask. Like you'll be singing, it'll be kind of like that.
It'll be like this.
Yeah, maybe that's going to...
It'll sound like modern rap. It'll be fine.
Did you did you go out and do all the shopping? How are you delegating that at the house?
Yeah, we've gone out twice and kind of stocked the fridge a little bit. Hmm. No toilet paper. We have bidets.
Oh, no.
Bought online at Amazon.
Oh, you and Bubba. Bubba did the same thing.
It's the greatest thing in the world. I'm not even going to lie. So they're very cheap on Amazon, and they're awesome. So I recommend it.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's a... No, only gone twice, and it's been not too bad, actually.
I can't believe you. Did you tell him to say that?
No. No, I did not. I did not pre-set him up at all.
That's exactly. Bubba bought it on Amazon.
I bought three.
And yeah. Just got them in. He's had them on since the
They're
past
amazing.
Weekend.
They're amazing. And everybody always asks.
They're the greatest things in the world.
Everyone asks, like, once you spray your bottom, they're like, what do you do then? Does it take toilet paper? Yeah, but not as much. You take a little bit of toilet paper, and basically it's just a drying and a maintenance type thing.
That's it.
And it's it's so wonderful. And you feel so refreshed.
It's the great. It's women been doing it forever. We just finally caught up as men.
Well, Mitchell, this has been fascinating. Thank you. by the way, the new song, Anything She Says, is available. It's also with our friend Seaforth. You can get that Mitchell Tenpenny.
And the video's funny, too.
There's some jorts in that video, that's for sure.
Lots of jorts. Mitchell Tenpenny, everyone. Mitchell, thanks, man. Glad you're doing well.
Absolutely. Y'all, too. Cheers, y'all.
Ingrid Antress is joining us on the hotline. New album is out. It's called Ladylike, and she's on the hotline now. Hey, Ingrid, how are you?
What's up?
What's up? Are you so excited?
I am, honestly. Some of these songs were written like 3 years ago, so I'm like, oh, please come out.
I'm so sick of listening to the same songs over and over. I got on the Ingrid Antress bus a long time ago, and so you get through a song, you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm all into this one. And then you're like, okay, Ladylike, I'm all into this one. Okay, and now I'm like, okay, finally you got the whole album. How many songs are on there?
I don't have to just listen. So there's eight. So there are a few new ones, but I didn't really just want to put, like, 14 songs out just to do it. Like, I wanted every song to be meaningful in some way.
Good.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. They're all real stories, all emotional. So get ready to get in your feels.
Oh, man.
Some more.
I'm going to redo my makeup. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Reapply that mascara real quick.
Yeah. So with all of the stuff going on with the coronavirus, your Dan and Chase stuff with the you're on tour with the guys, all that got canceled, of course. So what are you doing?
I know.
Where were you when the first time you heard, oh, hey, we're going to cancel this? Was it early on when all this started?
I was in New York, and I was about to fly to Philly to play our next show because we had already played three shows. So I got a little tease of what it was like, and then it got postponed. So... But at least I got to experience like what it was like for three nights. I mean, that's the most people I've ever played for in my whole life. So I was like, "Oh, this is cool."
The thing with Ingrid is that she has it's such. I remember the first time I had a friend of mine who was in the record business for a long time, and sent me this link and said, "Hey, listen to this." And I was like, "This is way before." Really pushing for the song and all that, really pushing it to radio. And I was like, what in the world? Why isn't this playing now? Why don't we just play it? It's like, it's coming, man. It's coming. Anyway, I'm a huge fan, and I'm so excited for the new album. It's called Ladylike. Ingrid Antress is our guest. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back talking more with Ingrid. Hang on. Ingrid Antress is joining us. The new album is out now. It's called Ladylike. Now, the songs on this album, because, you know, we're all, you know, used to kind of, you're in that time of your life, and you write about stuff like that. And, you know, what's interesting is even though, because it was like with Taylor Swift would write songs that I man, I was not living that.
Because you weren't a 16-year-old girl.
And I still loved it. And that's the same way with her, with Ingrid. It's like these songs, like you've really connected with people that aren't even really going through what you're singing about. We still love it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I know. I feel like a lot of the time when people reach out, they're like, I'm happily in a relationship, but whenever I listen to your music, I feel like I'm not. And I'm like, oh, no. They're like, but it's a great thing because it's interesting feelings that I'm not really experiencing, but I do whenever I listen to your music. So I feel like that's the whole reason why I write is to connect with people. Otherwise, it's really hard for me to write about things that haven't actually happened to me because then I feel like I'm just making something up, which is why I don't have any songs about beer trucks because I don't have a truck and I don't drink beer.
You need a truck.
I know. See, that's what I would do. I always feel like you almost can't be too specific. Like when you're talking about, you know, in More Hearts Than Mine, you know, you're talking about, you know, my dad's going to, you know, act like he doesn't like you and then all that kind of stuff and check your tires. There's like you get so specific on these things and it's like you see it. Every time I hear that song, I play it out like a little movie in my head every time it's on the radio. I'm not even watching the video.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Well, good.
All those things really do happen. My dad doesn't pour whiskey for anybody. He's not really much of a drinker, so that was kind of a lie, but everything else is pretty accurate.
Don't. Why'd you tell me that? Why would you?
You just ruined your
truth. I want to be honest with you.
No, don't. Get lies. Okay. Give me all lies.
Okay. All right.
The album is out now. It's called Ladylike. Ingrid Andress is her name. More Hearts Than Mine is on there. So many great songs. You're going to love it. Make sure you get it today. And it's good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me. Stay safe.
Stay safe as well.
Later.
Okay, bye.
Stay safe is like the nice way of saying don't die.
Yeah, it is.